Most people today are just kind of walking around the world trying to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out where they fit, maybe what to do in the world. Go from job to job, relationship to relationship. Some people go from wife to wife, husband to husband. John chapter 4 is a story of a woman who went to the well one morning and or afternoon, met Jesus there, and she's just trying to find answers and couldn't get them. Different relationships, place to place, person to person. Songs written about it. I don't think a lot of people admit it, but many people just feel lost today. The world's a very confusing place. It's very complex. Schools are very complex places today. The international scene is extremely complex. We live in a rough world, in a rough age, and people are struggling. People get wounded very easily. People have a lot of anxiety. We've been talking a lot about anxiety lately. People have a lot of anxiety, a lot of things to grab your attention. But here this verse, this little chapter here in verse 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 22, says, Samuel, and speaking to Saul, says, "The Lord has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord." The church today is incredibly busy. They're putting up buildings. They are trying to get involved with social things in society. Some churches have a lot of groups. You can get in a million different groups in a church. They got a group for this person and this group and that group. A lot of groups. Nothing wrong with groups. But Samuel's asking a really important question here. Is your activity as important as your obedience to God? Are you being obedient to God? That's the question. It's a simple question that can go in a lot of directions for a lot of people. But for God, it's an up or down vote. It's a yes or no. See, earlier on, Saul grew tired of waiting for Samuel to come. So he took it upon himself to make the offerings. He did what only a priest should do. Saul's impatience made him cross a line. Ever happen to you? Get a little impatient, cross a line or two, cross a lane on the highway, drive across the median strip. You ever get totally impatient? Saul got impatient. You know, one thing I wouldn't describe Americans as is patient. Would you? No. I'd say impatient, impetuous, very creative when they have to be. Resourceful, sure. But another word I probably wouldn't use is obedient. It's a tough thing. It's interesting how Samuel's wording this. He said, you know, on the outside, it looked like you did a great thing. Saul, you've sacrificed these animals, and that's something that the Lord requires. But he says here, to obey is better than sacrifice. I had a guy in a church many years ago, and every now and then he'd write a check, and it'd have four digits on it. And the guys would come up after and say, "Hey, Pastor, we got a check. Somebody gave a really large gift." This is when we were a real small church. And I said, "Yeah, that's great. What's the matter? Why are you excited?" I said, "I'm thankful. I'd rather have his heart than his check." Because we didn't have his heart. We didn't have his involvement other than coming every couple weeks. And it made me think of this verse. To obey is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want your money. By the way, God doesn't really need any of our money. You do realize that, right? You think God's up in heaven wringing his hands at the finances of the church? We talk about it so seldom now, and I'm glad. And you know what? God has provided for us over the years. I've told you this over 25 years. We've never missed a rent payment or a mortgage payment. We've never been late on anything. The church has a perfect credit rating in terms of our bills. And that's because God has always been faithful to us. And he intends to be faithful to us until the rapture. I never even worry about it. I don't. I mean, sometimes people go, okay, how are we going to do this? Not my problem. To obey, yeah, that's the focus, right? To obey God is far better than trying to make sacrifices for him. Because I think a lot of times, don't we make sacrifices and try to do things maybe because we haven't been so obedient? You say to your child, you say, I want you to clean your room and I want to clean before I get back. And then they go out and they cut the grass. I'm not talking about you. He does both very well. I'll tell you, you need cleaning done, not even grass cutting. Clean for it. He straightens out my garage all the time. But you say to your child, you say, I want this done. And then they go and do something else that they're all proud of. And you know, today, people, psychologists would say, don't say anything about what he didn't do. Reinforce the positive about what he did do. So what are we reinforcing? By the way, we're reinforcing that it's okay for you to just go out and just off on your own and not have any concern about what your authority or what obedience would mean. So to obey is better than sacrifice. Next verse in verse 23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, this doesn't mean like the wicked witch of the West. I'll get you, my pretty. This is pharmakia. The word there is pharmakia. Drug addiction. Rebellion is the same as a drug addiction. Hard to overcome. Near impossible without Christ. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. You know, stubborn people are usually proud of the fact that they're stubborn. You ever notice that? I speak my mind and I don't move. I don't change my position on anything, you know. There's stubbornness, almost an arrogance to stubbornness. It's good if you have a position that is scriptural and you should stand in that position, right, regardless of the pressure of the culture. However, stubbornness is bad news, especially when it's stubbornness towards God. But there are so many amazing opportunities in this life to help people and do meaningful things. But believe it or not, that's not how we discover our purpose or our calling, because the list of things that are meaningful and needed are endless. I'm going to say this, and I want you to remember this little phrase because it's an important one. The need never constitutes the call. Can you repeat that back to me? Doesn't matter how great the need is. You know, I've walked in places in the world where the need was absolutely overwhelming. I remember I was walking through a slum in the Dominican Republic. And I literally fell on my knees before God because I was too overwhelmed. I didn't know where to start. I said, Lord, where do we even start? Do we start with food? Do we start with the gospel? Do we get some water for these people? Do we help them build better roofs? Do we get them out of this housing? What do we do first? The need was overwhelming. Ghana is the same way. Those of us who've been to Ghana and others, many of you have been to third world countries. We were in Honduras. Jason and I went up a mountain in the back of a pickup truck, and we found this little school with maybe 20, 25 boys sitting in the classroom all in there and hungry. And where do you start? What do we do first, God? The need never constitutes the call. Here's an important principle for you and I to learn. We got to learn where our gifts and our talents and our passions intersect with opportunity. The gifts that God's given you are going to intersect with opportunity once in a while. You find those places and then you try things there. And to discern that is a bit complex. It can be kind of tricky. Examples of what other fine saints are doing, those are excellent. But we tend to copy what they're doing without really seeking God's desire for us. You know, when we first moved out here, I remember a pastor called me and said, "Are you doing Sunday night church service?" I said, "No." "Why not?" I said, "I think people work hard all week. And, you know, we maximize our Sunday morning. We got Sunday school. And we got our church service. Then we got a Q&A afterwards. People sometimes go out to lunch. What am I going to do? Everybody try to come back here again on a Sunday night for a church service? You get people that are exhausted. And I've been doing it for years, and I never liked it. That's why we never did a Sunday night service. It used to get suggested once in a while someone comes, "You got a Sunday night service?" "No." "Why not?" "Go hang with your family." Here's a suggestion. Take your family, go visit another family. You can do all this preaching service you want. But I'm not going to do it here. Because people then get pressured into coming. They feel like, it's church service Sunday night. You know, how about have a time with your family out in the yard? Sit in lawn chairs and look at each other. We don't do that enough. Families don't do that enough. Go take your lawn chairs and sit around a campfire and look at each other. Tell stupid jokes. Do whatever you have to do. Be with your family. Be with them. In meaningless nothing time. And then you'll find out how meaningful and important those times are. Some of my favorite memories are memories of not some great thing happening, but hanging around with these people. I love these people, but I really love these people. If I have my choice between these people and these people, I'd take both of you. But if it came down to one or the other, sorry folks, it's these people. Because one day you're all going to move on, you're going to go somewhere, you move out of town. These are the ones that are going to be standing when the dust settles. And the ones sitting next to you, those are the people that are going to be standing with you when the dust settles. Your kids, your grandkids, and everybody else. You spend time with them. Quality time with them. Quiet time with them. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. You say, "Well, how do I find my purpose in life?" Because this is really what I want to talk about. I want to discover my calling and my purpose for life, because people really want to know what that is. And it takes time to find it. And some people never do. I've been at many a funeral, standing over a casket of a person who never really discovered their purpose in life. And had to speak to a group of people who had no purpose in life. I was with a group of people this week that I think their only purpose for the weekend is drinking. They work all week to get the paycheck so they can drink on the weekend. It's awful. So when you're thinking about this today, I want you to remember something. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You've been bought with a price. You are not your own." Hello? How do I discover my purpose? My purpose? You see the problem? No. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm His. Whose purpose should I be really thinking about? Whose? We don't get the question answered because we're asking an impossible question. Lord, what's my purpose? To obey is better than sacrifice. God's got a purpose. When you start discovering the priorities of God, your reason for being part of them will become quite clear. You understand what I mean by that? What are some of God's priorities? Family. What's another one of God's priorities? Children. What's another one of God's priorities? Fellowship. What's another one of God's priorities? Souls. I think that's one of the highest ones. I don't think the church is here on the earth for any other reason than there's more souls that need to be won. We'll have fellowship in heaven. We can fellowship in heaven. We can spend time with our families in heaven. We can do all this stuff in heaven. You know what we can't do in heaven? Win souls. So you start thinking about winning souls with your family and your church. And how my life, what can I do in that picture? What can I do in that sphere? And maybe it's to develop young people. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you find it in the things you're already doing. But maybe you're here this morning and you're really not participating in much. My challenge to you is find something to participate in the life of the church, and discover your purpose. Pastor, I'm so busy already. I can barely get here on Sunday morning. You don't have enough margin. We've talked about margins before. If you're right out to the edges, you got another problem. You don't know how to say no. Number two, I guarantee you're wasting a ton of time. Guaranteed. Time management is a problem for many people. I don't know what I should do. Guess. I had a friend of mine years ago. One of the most talented young ladies I've ever met. She says to me, I don't know what I should be doing. I said, well, pray. I'll pray with you. She prayed. Still nothing. Still didn't get involved in it. I don't know. Should I do nursing home? Should I do Sunday school? Should I do here? Should I do that? I said, well, I'll pray. I'll pray with you. Then after a while, she could, like 6 months go by. Still, I said, what's happening? She says, God hasn't spoken to me yet. I said, how about this? Guess. Really? I said, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to win souls in the wrong place? You know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if you haven't heard from God about serving God in some area? That you bless the wrong person? You think God has your phone number? Can God redirect you if you're in the wrong spot? But you know what you can't do? You can't steer a parked car. Start moving and try something. I'm always concerned for people who withdraw from ministries. Even when there's important things, it's fine if it's temporary. There's folks that got very important personal matters that they got to take care of, and they should do that. There's nothing wrong with that. They should step out. But you know what? You better not stay out there long by yourself. You need a little break? Take a little break. You need time to grieve? Take time to grieve. You got to work on your projects? Work on your projects. But remember, you're going to lose your focus if you're gone out of the picture too long. Everybody understand that? Raise your hand if you understand what I mean. You will lose your purpose, and it'll manifest itself in all kinds of funny ways. We're His. We've been bought with a price. See, I don't have a right to direct my own steps. This is something I learned many, many years ago. If I grab the steering wheel, I'm going to get slapped, right? God is the driver. I'm in the back seat. He takes me where he needs me to go. You ever see those stickers, God is my co-pilot? If God is your co-pilot, I feel very bad for the passengers in your plane. I'd much rather have God flying the plane and you, you know, like baggage handler. How many understand what I'm driving at here today? God is God. Here's a strange thing. Isn't that profound? God is my God. God is my Lord. God is my master. God is my friend. God is my Savior. And I am His. And He bought me with a price. I don't think He got a very good deal, but He bought me anyway. What's my purpose? Glorify Him. To point as many people as I can back to Him. However that works, however I got to do that, whether it's strumming a guitar, or preaching a message, or making phone calls. You know, we had a guy in the church for years. All he did was make phone calls every week. 4 or 5 phone calls a week. It was one of the best ministries in the church. Kept people together. All he did was make phone calls. He asked me, who do you want me to call? I said, who you want to call? You know, normally he would tell me who he was thinking of calling, and it was the exact right person he should be calling. Because he found his niche. He found something simple to do that made a difference. And it intersected with his talents and his passion and his gifts. Most of us will ask ourselves at one point or another, isn't there something more to this life? The answer to this question is no. What do you mean more to this life? How about you've been given this life? Discover what you've already got. Discover what you have. And walk in those things. But to obey, yeah, tough word to preach on. You know the word obey actually implies that there's hearing involved with obeying? Akuo, right? It means what I'm hearing, I'm responding to positively. I'm hearing a message, I respond positively. I read the Bible, I respond positively. See? No. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm so busy. Okay, let me just stop here for a second. I have a family. I own a house. I pastor a church. I own a business. I'm the commander of the American Legion. I'm the president of IAGM. And I founded Safe Water Goner, and I'm running that. I don't want to hear you're too busy. Forgive me if I don't shed tears about your calendar. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to be unkind. But I'm just saying, if you manage your time and you keep priorities, now be honest, I don't mop my office every week. I don't have time for that. But the big picture things, we keep an eye on. I get a lot of help. You don't get to managing a lot of things unless you've got a lot of really good people around you. But at the same time, it's a busy schedule. It's kind of busy. You know what I did yesterday afternoon? I sat on the deck with him and goofed around for 2 hours. Hour and a half. We just goofed. Why? Family. Yes, even I consider him family. You know? If I had a third son, I would have wanted to be him. So I hang out with him a little bit. I spent more time with him yesterday than I did with Paul. Paul didn't want to deal with me. That's what it was. But you have to manage your time, folks. And in the middle of all that, I talked to two people overseas. Not while I was talking to him, but two people. We did make a call to someone that him and I had recently invested some time in and just loved her up and encouraged her. It was awesome. It was a great phone call. And then I called another guy that him and I had been talking to recently, and we picked on him for a bit. So we took our time together, had some fun doing some other stuff, and then we ministered to two other people together. And that was my plan for that time. I don't know if you knew that was the plan, but that was the plan for the time. So you just work it all in. You just figure out a way to get it done. I only have 24 hours a day. Anybody have any more than 24? Do you get 6-7 hours sleep? How many of you get 10 hours sleep a day? Oh. Jody's aiming high. How many of you get about 8 hours of sleep? Raise your hand. Stand if you have 8 hours of sleep. If you got 8 hours of sleep, if that's what you normally get, please stand, because I it's hard for me to see without my glasses. Stand. 1, 2, 3. You get 8 hours of sleep? That surprises me. Okay, have a seat. I would ask those who got 6 hours of sleep to stand, but they don't have energy. You get about six? What do you get, Harry? About 6 hours? They say as you get older, you don't need as much sleep. Is that? What's that? You need more? I'm going in the wrong direction. I think I got 3 hours left. No, I usually get 6 or 7 maybe. Right? 6 or 7? 5 or 6? But, you know, you're functional and you love people. Just do your thing. Live your life. But do things purposefully and do things that matter. Let me tell you, there's three important things that counsel helps with. All right? When I say counsel, I don't mean you got to talk to a person. That's helpful. But getting counsel helps with three things. First of all, Proverbs 11:14. And I'm using the word counsel. But what counsel really is a specific direction that you get from an objective source. Right? So Josh prays and gets counsel from God. Right? Casey goes to an accountant and gets counsel. Right? Somebody comes to the pastor and gets help with their marriage counsel. Right? All kinds of different counsel. I read my Bible this morning and it counseled me. That ever happen to you? How many ever read your Bible and it just counsels you? I love Proverbs. I get more counsels out of Proverbs. So Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where there is no counsel, people fall. People fall. And there's no counsel. That word is also translated in another version, vision. Direction. From our counsel in the Word of God, we get direction. We get a direction. So many people have no direction today. The direction is just what's on the counter. So they have a 9-to-5 work week, a 9-to-5 work day, 5 days a week. That drives them. There's nothing really beyond that. And then the have-tos. I have to buy groceries. I have to pay bills. I have to fix my car. I have to change the oil. By the way, change the oil in your car. I have to do that. I have to keep the car clean. I have to do this. I got to fix. I got to do that. All the got-tos. So we have the, I got to go to work. So people are driven by their got-tos. And there's a lot of got-to Christianities. I got to go to church. The counsel is a vision. The counsel I get from God gives me a vision, gives me a direction. You know why I don't got to do that? Because that's going to take me off course. I'm not going to do that. That's my course. That's my direction. Proverbs 15:22. Another thing we get from counsel. Without counsel, plans go awry. How many of you have ever had your plans go awry? My sister used to say askew. Something is askew. Oftentimes my plans have gone askew. Usually they go askew when I haven't gotten counsel. When I haven't gotten counsel from the Lord, counsel from a friend, counsel from leaders. Counsel gives me a vision and a direction. Counsel helps me establish my plans. Counsel. You know what the counsel is going to say if you talk to a human being? They're going to say, really? You give them your crazy plan, and they say, okay, let's talk about that. They say, maybe that is your skills and gifts. They may say, you know, that's just crazy enough, it might work. Or they may say to you, what about this? What about this other thing? What about your other direction that you've got? What about family? What about your calendar? What about your schedule? What about this? What about that? Counsel's good. I like counsel. I like to get counsel. I've come to counsel. I've gotten counsel from many of you. How many of you have ever given me counsel? Put your hand up. Lita, when have you given me counsel? Do you? Many of you have done it. You're not raising your hand, but many of you have done it. Because I want to make sure that I'm heading in the right direction sometimes and I'm doing something well and that it's not going to hurt the congregation or hurt my family or hurt my specific vision for my life. Next thing is Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Keep saying that, in a multitude of counselors. You know, it's important to have a lot of input to find your purpose. But some of you are too proud to get counsel. Can I be honest with you? How many people really have input in your life? Are you letting anybody have input in your life? Other than select one or two people that you know are going to go along with you? Somebody once accused Pastor Kirky of being a yes man. They said, people who knew him were laughing in the background. Kathy knew the story. He was one of the elders. And somebody said, well, you've got two guys with you that are just your yes men. They're going to do whatever you want. I said, have you even met these two? They don't know my husband very well at all. At all. I'll say this. Tim was humble. He was supportive. He loved me probably more than anyone I've ever met other than my wife and kids. He was a dear, dear, close friend. But he was the first one in line to say, that's not scriptural. Or he would come up and say, I remember when I was teaching through the book of Romans. About 5 years into Romans chapter 1, we joke about it, but there were, I think the count was 112 messages. Your father made me look very good by how long he took to go through Ephesians. It took him twice as long. Yeah, it took him twice as long to get through that book as my big book of Romans. So Menzo did him a big favor. But I was going through that book, and I get a call with Pastor Tim. He says, hey, Pastor, can I come see you? I said, yeah, I'm in the office. So he walks in. He's got Larry Spencer with him. I said, oh, boy, here we go. And these two guys are good friends, so I wasn't nervous at all. They sat at my desk. They said, Pastor. Tim looks across the desk. Tim's got his hands folded. Please, for the love of God, finish Romans and go back to preaching some topical stuff. I said, why? I said, I thought I was doing a good job. He said, you're doing a wonderful job. But it's not your gift to do it that way. Please preach. Go back to, we need you to preach. Please preach to us. And then Larry says, what he said. With his sense of humor, you know. Great moments like that are important for anybody to have, that people will come up to you and say, for the love of God. Please. They were kind. They were whimsical about it. They were funny, but they were very serious. And they were absolutely right. Right now, you're in this moment. And I think one of the problems we have with finding our purpose is we're waiting for it to come down the road. But I want to say one of the most important things for you to do, and then we're going to close with this thought. We can continue this in the front building, but I want to just wrap this up here. Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You are going to die. Don't waste time trying to find something else to do. God will change your direction if necessary. I'm paraphrasing. But here it says, listen, right now you're doing a Bible study, do the Bible study with all your heart. Right now you're running a business, run that thing with all your heart. Right now you're working on, you're in a construction team, do that with all your might. Be the very best at it that you can possibly be at what you're doing right now. And I will tell you, God will change your direction if need be. But you are not your own. You're His. Get counsel. Seek counsel for direction, for plans, to go to war if you have to. But finding our purpose is so important. Our purpose is to glorify God. This is going to change over time what's in your hand to do. It's not what's in your hand to do that's the most important thing. It's the way you're doing it. It's doing it with all your might. Listen, if you're in a job right now that you don't like, do it with all your might. You say, but I don't like it. Do it with all your might. Obey the verse you just heard. Because if you don't do the job you're in now with all your might, the next one you get that you think you'd like, you're not going to do that one with all your might either. What God wants you to learn is to do what you're doing with all your might. You're homeschooling your kids? Do it with all your might. You run the books? Do it with all your might. You work in a store? Do it with all your might. You work for a place that's got crazy management? Do it with all your might. Work with all your might and be available to move on if God wants you to move on. I'm not telling you to be stuck there, but don't move without counsel. Don't move without wisdom. But do it with all your might. God will move you on when the time is right. Hey, that just rhymed. Anybody want a peanut? Sorry. All right. You don't remember what that is? Princess Bride? You don't remember Princess Bride? One of the best movies of all time, by the way, Princess Bride. What'd you say? If there, we'll all be dead. You have to play that when you get home, the scene when they're in the boat going, how many of you know what I'm talking about here? Look at all the people that know. See? Yes. All right, have fun storming the castle. All right. Psalm 145 is a great verse to read and a great chapter to read. I want you to read the whole chapter when you get home this afternoon. Read Psalm 145. Take time with your family before you eat or whatever and read Psalm 145. I'm going to read some of it here. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So you read a verse like that and you think, okay, what's my purpose? To extol the Lord, to bless his name, and to praise him. Let's start there, shall we? You're not sure what to do at work? praise God, bless God, extol his name. Whatever you got in your hand right now, do that with all your might. God is going to lead you. How do you know? He said he would. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. We pray, God, that you would teach us, Lord, to be patient, not run ahead, and to just right where we're sitting now, whatever we have in our hand, we're going to do that with all of our might. We're going to just do it with all of our might. Maybe you're a kid here today and you don't have a job or whatever. Hey, whatever you're doing in school, do it with all your might. You're on the baseball team? Do it with all your might. You're on a soccer team? Do it with all your might. You go to dance class? Do it with all your might. You're in karate? Do that with all your might. Mom tells you to clean your room? Have the cleanest room on the planet. Do it with all your might. Start now. Some of you young people are going to be millionaires one day. I do. I believe that with all my heart. Because of inflation, it's not going to be worth anything, but you'll have $1 million. Some of you are going to be millionaires one day. You know what? You know how it's going to start? You start doing the little things right now with all your heart. And God will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. And you'll be used. You'll be used by God. You will. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Bless our time across the way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand one more time and re-sing a song we did earlier. Yeah. Oh, and I have a very brief meeting right after we sing this song. If you got a text from me about missions conference, I need you up front for a couple minutes after we sing this song. Okay. I was going to let him figure it out when I started playing.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. The Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Golden rainbows. Golden rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. who was and is eternal. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. He was my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
You, Lord. Bless our afternoon, Father, with our families, our time of fellowship that follows here. We pray you give everybody a safe week, a healthy week. Pray you be merciful to those who are dealing with different situations. We pray for healing for the sick. Father, we want to pray right now for little Nora's foot. Pray, God, you just heal it supernaturally, God, we pray. Right wherever she is right now, God, just touch her. Just shout anything else out, any other people that you want to have prayed for just while we're here. Just say, I know you can talk louder than that, Debbie. A migraine? Maybe a couple people around her just to lay hands on her just for a second. Pastor Jason, just pray for her. To the King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. I just pray for a suitcase, God, today, just. She continues to battle the grieving and
do the grieving. And we pray, Father, for her special this morning. Heal her heart. Give her peace. Please, Father. For Bonnie and Larry today, God. Just touch them, Lord, physically, and give strength, grace. You are sufficient. For those who need jobs, God, we pray that you'd open up doors.